Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone. I hope you all are having an amazing day, and I would like to let you know on this amazing day that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for both my shows, The Ritwit and Paleobites. For the Paleobites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals, and this month we're talking about, let's see, what did they say we're talking about this week? Let me just look at the, list here. Megazoic, my own book series. Wow, I must have really run out of ideas. That's not true. We got plenty of other dinosaur pop culture to talk about, but I thought this time we'd do something a little different. And don't worry, it's not me reviewing my own book. That would be biased and unprofessional. Of course not. No, I've got two other people to do it. People who are very unbiased and are willing to give their professional opinion on my book series. So yeah, it's great. We all have a good time. Link is in the description for you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support and have a lovely day. Having people pay to listen to review, that is an ad for my own work, to make people pay for that. Capitalism, baby!
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast with the ambition of a drunken stegosaurus. My name is Matthew Donald, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by someone who we were just talking about a certain stegosaurus for an older version of my story. It's Ben O'Regan.
G'day, everyone. I felt like knocking off the Hello. Aussies by saying that, given what we're talking about.
Good day, everyone, yeah.
Mind you, I think Kiwis say g'day, too.
Well, like, as long as you don't say, like, putting a shrimp on the Barbie, because they don't actually say that. That's an American thing.
They do. My uncle says that.
Oh, really? Well, I think the Americans might have invented it then. Like, and the Australians are like, if that's what you think we say, okay, we'll start saying
it. Oh, g'day, mate. We're putting a shrimp on the Barbie. Put some flip-flops on my jandals.
Right. I've recently learned that Australian slang, this is not American slang. I only realized this is not American slang. When they say rooting, they mean, you know, banging, like having sex with. So apparently that's Australian slang, because I was doing an episode of my other podcast, The Ritwit, where we talked about, like, how to get your readers to root for your characters, like rooting for your heroes, rooting for your villains. And when my co-host, you know, kept saying rooting interests, I'm like, oh, rooting interests, like they want to have sex with them.
Oh, like, rooting what? For us and cheering them on, yeah. Yeah, that's yeah, slang exactly, here, yeah. Root as well. I think it's a Brit thing.
Exactly. So, like, but my co-host, you know, he was like, what? And I'm like, that's not what yeah. that... Oh, okay. It's just slang. It's not American slang.
While we're talking about that, I can't say one of the words because it's a See You Next Tuesday word. Like, you know the word.
Oh, I think it's so... Yeah, I know that word. I think it's so funny how liberally Australians and British people use yeah. it.
And New Zealanders. That's actually what I was getting to. See here, if someone says the C word to you... Like, say, oh, that guy's a good C word, or, cause, you know, just want to make sure this doesn't get demonetized. It's, or Ben, whatever. That's a compliment. It's like, yeah. If Australian oh, yeah, no, says like... to you, listen here, mate.
No, I get that.
Ooh, you're about to get stabbed, or something.
No, I get that. No, I think it's funny how much they use a C word. But, and that's why I bring this up, because I'm... But I just think this is so funny. So I was listening to this Australian podcast, and they were talking about this one Australian comedian had this gig. He actually had a gig in Afghanistan for the U.S. soldiers at the camp. At the military camp. He's at the military camp. He's doing comedy for the soldiers. And the general went to this Australian comedian and said, hey, you know, you can joke about whatever you want, but just don't say the C word. We don't take kindly that word as well as you guys do.
Because you guys consider it really vulgar, don't you?
It's like the worst word. Like, the worst word here. It is, like, worse than the F word. Because, like, people have used it in misogynistic ways. It's one of those words you don't say. So hold on here. Watch as I tell this story and get canceled here.
Keep it in mind if I ever go to the US so I don't get my head kicked in.
So he said, don't use the C word. And he's like, okay, I won't use the C word. And so he goes up on stage, Australian comedian, goes to the soldiers, and immediately... immediately he says, all right, so this said I couldn't say the word. What a am I right? Like, just immediately.
Reminds me of Heath Franklin, whatever his name is. He's an Australian, or might be a Kiwi comedian because he does comedy there and here. Pretty sure it's Aussie. He impersonate Aussie killer and criminal Mark Brandon Chopper Reed, if you've ever heard of him.
Yeah.
And one of his ones is like, Chopper's automatic counter, and he can only say it 15 times, and then he gets bleeped, and it's actually funnier once they start bleeping him.
It's just like F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F, beep, beep, beep.
Like, there's a bit where he's like, what? It's a bleeping swear word.
Swear words are funny. They only have power if you give them power.
Yeah.
Obviously, except for slurs. And that's the problem with the C word in America. Like, it's generally regarded as a slur. A lot of the places it's not.
Probably because it's used to refer to female genitalia on occasion.
Yeah, exactly. But, I don't know, calling someone a dick is fine, so I don't know. But, anyway, so... Yeah.
And my bad for... been a motor mouth. I generally...
No, it's fine. I think it's funny. This encourages intelligent discourse.
Yeah. Speaking I remember there's studies that say, like, if you swear a lot, you're less intelligent, and then there's ones that say if you swear a lot, it's actually a sign of being intelligent.
It is. Like, I've actually heard, the study I've heard is that if you swear a lot, you're more honest. And that makes way more sense, because you're, by being unfiltered, you're unfiltered. So...
Yeah. Probably also how it's the type of work I do. I'm a labourer. There's a lot of guys here that swear like sailors.
Yeah, so speaking of Aussies, and like, I guess I'm going to say like Aussie slang, but not really like Aussie slang. We're talking...
Aussies, mate!
Yeah, we're talking about... Oh, God, this one's so difficult for me to... So difficult
Lee Ellenosaura.
Lee Ellenosaura. It means lizard of Lee Ellen.
Or Lee Ellen's lizard.
Yeah, Lee Ellen's lizard. Like, named after the daughter of two paleontologists who discovered it. Aww.
Most famous for being in Walking with Dinosaurs and for discoveries afterwards that it actually had feathers or proto-fluff.
Exactly. So type, it changes a ton, but currently it's classified as an Elasmerian, a group of Gondwanian ornithopods with many former members of the Hypsilophodont family, a group now considered invalid because science changes all the time. That's what makes it science, and that's beautiful. Mm. Pluto's now a planet, guys, and that's a good thing, so get over it.
Pluto is a planet, and anyone who says otherwise, I will send you to Pluto.
Send me to Pluto. It's not a planet.
Just joking. Funny. I honestly don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's funny how people are like, oh, but Pluto, I feel so bad for Pluto. Like, Pluto doesn't care. It's the same hunk of rock it has been for the last 4 billion years.
Yeah. I just think sometimes of how people can be super obsessed over classification. This is a bit hypocritical coming from me, given how... I can be quite memorable of things like, you know, feudal titles and stuff like that, given my interest in the Middle Ages and things. But, like, sometimes it just seems like someone at NASA just had a stick up their butt and was really funny about the classification.
So, size 3 feet, size 0.9 meters long, over 2 feet of which was its tail alone.
Its tail was very long.
Yeah, yeah. Diet herbivore. Time early Cretaceous, 113 to 110 million years ago. Location, Australia, and subsequently, according to Walking with Dinosaurs, Antarctica, because the two were pretty closely connected. Well, they were connected.
They were still one continent back then.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's kind of like how, like, I know that, like, different creatures are found on different places of different continents. They're not all found on the same part of the continent. But it's kind of funny when people, you know, in Pangaea times, like, oh, Plateosaurus was in Europe and Coelophysis was in Arizona. They could never meet. I'm like, they could.
It was the same damn continent.
I mean, like, yeah, there are different habitats per continent and different natural barriers that block things, but the thing about a supercontinent is that once you get inland, it's pretty much all the same biome.
Yeah, pretty much. Deserts, the odd mountain, and then river valleys and stuff.
Exactly. So not really much to block the creatures from walking to and fro.
Especially in the Triassic, which, while it had a lot of fauna turnover in the early, middle, and late periods of it, like, the early Triassic's pretty much Permian recovery, then you get turnover with the ancestors of dinosaurs and Restuchians and stuff, and then you get the actual late Triassic where dinosaurs, pythosaurs, and so on, but...
Right, exactly.
That aside, it was way more habitable than the middle and late Permian. That place was a friggin' death zone even before the Great Dying.
Exactly, exactly. And, like, Also, like, it's funny because, like, people say, oh, the dinosaurs lived in the Triassic, Jurassic, and Cretaceous. And I guess that's true. They lived in that. They did not rule except for the Jurassic and the Cretaceous. Like, the Triassic, they were there, but only in the late Triassic, and they did not rule. They were – we talked about this off air, but yeah.
That's why their reign is often shown as 150 million years or so, because it's the Cretaceous and Jurassic. It doesn't really count the Triassic.
It counts parts of the Triassic, but yeah, like, I don't even think, like, Plateosaurus was the biggest Triassic animal. I think there was, like, a Poposaurian or a Rhyosuchid called Psilosuchus that was, like, 40 feet long.
And even then, dinosaur-wise, it wasn't the biggest dinosaur. We already had some early sauropods that would lead to, like, true sauropods. I think, what, a Cenosaurus or something? Small by Jurassic standards, but still pretty big animal.
Right. Anyway, so instead of a Triassic big animal, let's talk about Cretaceous small animal. So it was described in 1989, pop culture appearances. Walking with Dinosaurs had it as its main character in its fifth episode, which is by far its most famous appearance. It also appears in the Stephen Baxter book Evolution and Ark Survival Evolved.
And countless Minecraft mods and mods for the first Jurassic World Evolution.
Yeah, of course. So dinosaurs weren't always in jungles. I mean, then again, the environment that Linosauria lived in was kind of a jungle, but just a polar one. So I should specify that dinosaurs didn't always live in hot jungles. Then again, it could get pretty hot there in the summer under sunlight, muggy atmosphere. So I should specify that dinosaurs didn't live in hot jungles 100% of the time. Yeah. As in the winter, oh boy.
Yeah, it definitely froze over and got very dark in some areas. Maybe not to the far northern part of Oz, but definitely like the South Pole does now.
This was found in, like, I think Queensland, which is, I think, the southern part. Oh, no, Victoria's the southern part, so...
Yeah, Queensland's the north, Victorian, that, I think, down south, because you got, like, New South and stuff. I have to double-check my knowledge of Aussie states.
Hold on. I know a lot of Aussie cities, because, again, I listen to a lot of Australian podcasts. So, like, Melbourne, and Perth, and Adelaide, and,
Yeah, Queensland's the east coast in the north, then you have Northern Territory and then Western Australia and Western Australia. South Australia, directly south of the Northern Territory, then you have New South Wales and Victoria at the very bottom, then you have Tasmania.
Okay.
And then you've got the ACT, Australian Capital Territory, but who the hell counts that?
All right, so I apologize. It was found in Dinosaur Cove, which is in Victoria, Australia. So it's in very South Australia. So there's a picture here of it's on the more southern part of Australia. Yeah. So, yeah,
I think it's Minmi and Musselburrosaurus out of Queensland, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that one's in Queensland. Hold on, let me check. All right, Musselburrosaurus is found in Australia, northeastern Australia. So yeah, in Queensland. Yeah. So
worth pointing out, just because we know a lot about dinosaurs, you more than me, since you keep more up to date than I, but it doesn't mean we remember everything off by heart.
One of the reasons why I started this show was so I could learn more. I learned a lot when doing research for this show. Like, that's kind of the cool thing about it. Anyway, so Australia is much further south back in the Cretaceous than it is now, to the point that the southern half was well within the Antarctic Circle. As Linosaur was far too small to migrate, it would have to ride out the winters every year, and therefore it had to be adapted to the cold. This means a lot of scientists believe Leonosaura to be fully warm-blooded, like the birds and bird relatives, the dromaeosaurs and troodontids.
Especially backed up by the feathers or proto-feathers that it's been found to have.
Yeah, exactly. Has it been found to have those, or has it just been speculated?
I think it's been found to, or it could be, because I know there was Tiny Long from, 15, 16 years ago, which was one of the first feathered ornithopods found outside of, quills on, Psittacosaurus, and its effect in paleontology circles, especially the ones who do, like, speculative reconstructions of animals, like the dinosaur, field guide to dinosaurs, or people that speculate what if they didn't die out and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Leonosaur itself, I mean, I could be wrong, I don't think it has evidence of feathers itself, but definitely its relatives has, and that's the thing, like... Yeah,
it's quite likely, in all honesty, especially if it had to slumber through X amount of time. It's hard to do when you're scaly.
Right, exactly. Like without feathers, conserving heat would have been quite difficult, especially for such a small creature. Not technically impossible, as the scales could have been thick like a crocodile's, but evidence of Ornithischian feathers thus far, like you said, there was a few of them, but mostly it's quite rare. Some of the biggest examples would be, like you said, about Psittacosaurus, those weird bristle things.
I think it's generally safe to assume that for a lot of ornithischians, especially the big hadrosaurs, when they get older, unless there's evidence otherwise, that most of them were secondarily featherless or fluffless with some keeping it like as breeding features and things are on the young.
I know that some have speculated, hypothesized is probably the more accurate term because there's no evidence for it, that Pachyrhinosaurus had a thick feathery coat like a muskox. I've seen artwork for that and it's very cool.
Yeah, I can fully believe that, especially when it's likely that the northernmost Tyrannosaurus and other animals were probably insulated.
Exactly.
That it's a lot like with animals like whales and elephants and stuff outside of mammoths, where they actually do have hair, just for the most part. It's so fine and coarse that you don't really, really see it.
Well, that's the reason why elephants don't have hair is because not only are they big, but they're also in a hot place.
Have it. It's just very, very fine.
Right, and that's actually the reason why, the giant ground sloths were likely similarly, scantily haired. So in terms of Lianosaur, it probably had feathers, it was probably warm-blooded. It was almost certainly warm-blooded.
But yeah, dinosaurs in general are warm-blooded, although for the biggest sauropods, they might have been either all, where they could switch to a cold-blooded metabolism of sorts, where their sheer size kept them warm, but if they were in a cold climate, they could probably switch to... standard warm-blooded.
Like most things, warm-blooded and cold-blooded is not just this or that. It's a spectrum. A lot of the big dinosaurs thus far, the theory is that they're mesothermic, which is a state between warm and cold-blooded.
Yeah, that's what I would have been thinking of. I just don't know all the terms.
Yeah, well, mesothermic, it's easy to remember because, meso means middle. Mesozoic is between the Cenozoic and the Paleozoic and Mesoamerica.
And Neozoic and all that.
So, mesothermic.
I know, it's Cenozoic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure what Ceno means, but I know meso means middle because Mesozoic, Mesoamerica, and mesothermic. So,
You notice that we don't actually get to calling most of the geological ages actual ages until after the KT barrier, Eocene or Dawn Age?
Oh, no, they existed. We just, who can be bothered to remember all of them?
No, but what I mean is we actually don't use the word scene or age in them until the 65 million year boundary.
That's true, because, what is it, the Mississippian and the Californian, or, those parts of the Carboniferous?
But, yeah, generally you got names like Carboniferous or Triassic, Jurassic, and Cretaceous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, see, those are the epochs, the ages, the periods where the... I think it's the Paleogene and the Neogene are the periods. So the scene...
Whatever the heck we're in now, the Quaternary or whatever.
Is it the Quaternary now? Because I know Tertiary's outdated.
Or is it the Anthropocene?
Oh, that's another epoch. And again, we could be the Anthropocene or the Holocene. That's a whole debate. Anyway, so a lot of things, it's a spectrum. More mesothermic is the thing. And sort of birds are warm-blooded, but it's a different type of warm-blooded compared to, an ostrich versus, say, a hummingbird. Mm. A hummingbird is, hyper-warm-blooded.
Well, yeah, it has to be a fact because of how active it is. I mean, they're what? They're basically avian bugs.
Yeah, I know, they buzz their wings like insects. It's kind of freaky. Because, there's bone in that. How do they do that?
I don't want to know.
Anyways, it's all that nectar, all that sugar. And they live a year.
Really? They're that short lived?
I don't know. I'm assuming that's how long.
It makes sense. Mice are hyperactive and so are rats, and they don't live very long.
No, they don't. Remy's restaurant in Ratatouille has got a year tops before he dies. And then he's got to hope another rat takes it over. All right.
That's a surprisingly wholesome movie, Ratatouille.
I know,
and it's
it is.
Very different from your usual Pixar thing where they usually have some kind of struggle or emergency. There isn't really one in Ratatouille.
I mean, it's prove yourself to be a good artist and get the mean critic on your side. All right, so in terms of feathers, though, it's probably likely they had feathers. Because at first we're only certain dinosaurs had feathers. Only the Celerosaurs really had feathers. But, now we're finding more and more things with feathers. And also we have found some pterosaurs with feathers as well. Not just the pectofibers that we already know they have. Actual feathers.
Oh, they actually had actual feathers.
Yeah, some of them had actual feathers. So that suggests that feathers originated from the same archosaur ancestor that evolved into both dinosaurs and pterosaurs.
That would mean dinosaurs and pterosaurs split a lot closer to given than crocodiles.
I think that is. I think that is correct. Yeah, because I think. Yeah, I think pterosaurs.
Unless crocodiles have secondarily lost them.
Yeah. No. Pterosaurs and dinosaurs are more closely related than dinosaurs and crocodiles. Although that does mean that
it does make sense though, because a lot of what we look back on as mammal-like reptiles now are just not as synapsids.
Synapsids. They're not really reptiles stuff, at all. Yeah. So.
A lot of them, even though they're still reptile-like, they're now depicted with fur because mammals had it very far back. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if the Metrodon was fluffy to a degree.
Well, it's like, not even like fluffy, like, it doesn't have scales like some places depict it. It had like skin, furless, it had skin, like an elephant skin.
Yeah.
So, and like, also like, yeah, because like, no, birds are, and, yeah, no, dinosaurs and pterosaurs are very close away, which means, like, when people say, like, oh, pterodactyls are either dinosaurs or they're birds, it's like, well, you know, they're not far. Birds are the closest modern relatives of pterosaurs, so.
And in a way, because cladistics and all that, you know, how we classify things is, but we're, like, technically we're all fish, and all fish are technically, you know.
Yes.
Bacteria at the end of the day, because of the way
it
works.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cladistically speaking,
dinosaurs are more birds than pterosaurs, just in terms of closeness.
Oh, no, they are, but in terms of, yeah. But also, since crocodiles are another type of archosaur, like birds are, and lizards and snakes and turtles aren't, that means that technically crocodiles are more closely related to birds than they are to lizards.
Going back to what I said about crocs, I actually wouldn't be surprised if the early proto-crocs were feathered. Or had proto feathers and lost them, because we know that theropods do seem to have definitely lost feathers or had them reduced. Because look at the abelisaurids and the lions that led to them. They're like, especially Carnotaurus, we know they had bony, scuchy skin like a crocodile or an ankylosaur.
Right, exactly. And like, I think it's easier to first evolve a thing and then lose it rather than like evolve it thing independently. Like. I think that makes more sense. Also, crocodiles are...
Well, it's much easier to lose eyes than to evolve eyes.
Exactly, exactly. But, like, also, crocodiles, you know, especially prehistoric ones, are quite varied. Like, the ones, like, the aquatic ones, like Metriorhynchus and Dacosaurus, they don't even have the armor skin at all. They're basically smooth, like a dolphin.
Yeah, they're a lot more like ichthyosaurs.
Yeah, but they're crocodiles, and that's just so weird to me. But, yeah. So, yeah, they're probably varied. Who knows? Maybe one of them had feathers. Some of them had sails too, like Arizona Sucus. Like,
yes.
Yeah, and some of them like were on two legs, like Psilosuchus and other stuff. So yeah, so Linosaur had feathers and it was warm blooded, but other adaptations for the harsh winters Leonosaur had included large eyes, which aided in low light conditions.
And it looks like it had widely splayed toes, a bit like animals that live in like, you know, their feet go snowshoe like so that they can spread out over the ice better.
Right, that's pretty cool. Yeah, exactly. One last thing to end on though before we rate it 1 out of 65 million. Leonosaura is one of a small handful of dinosaurs that end in Sora rather than the more common Saurus.
Like Myasaura.
Yeah, exactly. This is because Sora is the feminine form of the Greek suffix, while Saurus being the masculine. Like Myasaur, which means good mother lizard. And since Leonosaur is named after the daughter of the paleontologist who described it, it ends with that female suffix.
Hopefully they do that then, if like that thing recently where they're talking about splitting T-Rex into three genera, Tyrannosaurus Rex, Tyrannosaurus Regina, and Tyrannosaurus Imperator.
Yeah.
That should probably be Tyrannosaur Regina.
That's true. Another recent example to this is La Quintasaur, which means lizard of the La Quinta formation.
Haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a South American one, and the La part of the name indicates the female form as well, so...
Oh, yeah.
So, let's rate this 1 out of 65 million. I'm gonna give it, like, a 43 million. It's pretty cool. I mean, forget the pun, because it lived in a cold place.
I'll probably give it a 65 million, just because we don't know of all that many polar dinosaurs.
Yeah, you're just giving out 65 millions left and right now. I'm just kidding.
Do I actually give it out a lot?
Yeah, you do. Or I don't know if you do. I don't, who knows?
Right, I'll rate it maybe 50 million, since it is a small animal.
Nah, don't let me peer pressure. If you want to do 65, I'm just making fun. But
yeah, I've always seen ratings as arbitrary for the most part. Oh, no. Something's good or it's not.
Oh no, it is arbitrary. In fact, I encourage people to make jokes. Like my friend of the show, Laura Owsley, ignores the rating system constantly. She's like, I'm going to rate this 7 zebras. And I'm like, okay, out of what? She's like, just 7 zebras. I'm like, okay.
Zebras?
So she like completely ignores the rating scale, and it's very funny.
And apologies if we didn't talk about this at Leonosaur too much in this one. There actually isn't all that much to talk about with it at the end of the day.
No, it's... I mean, this show has always been like an introduction to dinosaurs rather than like a full-fledged like deep dive. So true. Yeah. But all right, well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattsd@matthewdoncarrera.com. For any general questions to either co-host, you can follow me on social media at matthewdoncarrera on Facebook, at matthewdon64 on Twitter, and matthewdon64 on Instagram. I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle.
Make sure you read it.
Yes, exactly. I might have used a Leonosaur once as like a background character.
You definitely use it in the old versions that I used to read over.
Yeah. So,
So it's not just used because most people don't seem to realize not only is there the term stock dinosaurs like T-Rex, Velociraptor and that, but most dinosaurs well-known in popular culture tend to actually be North American, and not just North American, but West Coast animals.
Oh, yeah, because like the Appalachian side, that's so rare. Fossils are so rare there. There's one like Dryptosaurus, and like that's it.
Yeah, and then you'd be hard-pressed to name many others unless you like dressing and stuff, but when it comes to late Cretaceous, it's all pretty much West Coast animals.
Exactly. Go to Alberta, stub your toe, and it's probably a fossil. They're
granted,
everywhere.
Hell Creek flora and fauna are pretty wicked.
They are. They really are.
And for people that listen to the tangent parts of this, if you actually enjoy the tangents, especially the bits that we leave in, since some of it gets cut for obvious reasons due to length and so on, make suggestions to Matt about what you want me to rant about, and I'll see if I can make an entertaining rant.
Oh, I would like to hear an entertaining rant from you. All right, well, that's it for this week. As I said at the end of every episode of Paleobites, good night, mate.
Good night, people. Welcome to Oz again in the morning.
Oh, great, that sounded South African. What the hell?
Who knows? All right. All right, bye.